The Lord be with you. The infant Jesus, the parade of shepherds, the singing angels, and the gift-bearing trekking magi don't even make a cameo appearance in Mark's account of the beginning of the good news. Instead, Mark has two beginnings merge. The creation story, the original beginning, joins Jesus' baptism report, and in the twinkling of an eye and the span of just a few verses, we, the readers and hearers of the gospel, meet Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and the son of Mary and Joseph, as an adult at the Jordan River. Jesus is there, ready to be baptized by his cousin John. As I reflected on the disturbing scenes of insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last Wednesday, the holy day of Epiphany, I recall reflexively expressing two distinct emotions. The first was a horror for the Capitol police and their safety, especially when a video of an African-American officer running for his life when chased by a mob of white criminals appeared on the news. The second was rage at the irreverent use of Jesus' name in speech and written on flags by profane thugs whose ignorance of the gospel was visible for all to see. America needed a John the Baptizer that day to come out of the wilderness of darkness and call the people rampaging to repent, to be baptized, and live by the eternal word of God. Nothing holy, nothing patriotic, nothing noble happened that disgusting day outside and inside the Capitol by those who sought to assault the people's will. America needed a John the Baptist of that fateful day. Mark's account of John's ministry, of calling the nation to repentance, and Jesus' baptism reads with a heightened sense of urgency, even excitement and immediacy. It's quite a sparse account of the landmark event of Mark chapter 1, punctuated by God's voice sounding clear, by the heavens ripping open to reveal its brilliant glory, and by the Holy Spirit dive-bombing the newly baptized Son of the Living God. From Mark's account, it sounds like everybody's doing it, getting the John the Baptizer treatment of a fiery and genuine awakening to their misguided lives and hearts toward God, and then baptism in the muddy river water. It's a therapy of confessing, of repenting, and beginning life fresh, like a rebirth. It was the most raucous event around. It was the place to be and to be seen. You're looking now at a fresco by the artist called Giotto at the Scrovegni Arena Chapel in Scrovegni, Italy, near Padua. Right at the beginning of the 14th century, around 1300 or 1301, Giotto was commissioned by the Scrovegni family to decorate their family chapel. And he developed a new way of painting on the walls, not just painting on a hard wall in a mural like Leonardo and the Last Supper. But way before Leonardo painted on the wall, Giotto took a wet paste and put it on the walls and drove the paint deeply into it, as if to imprint the paint on the wall and let it dry together. His depiction of the baptism of Jesus is a dramatic one, especially when you look up above the head of Jesus. You see God as if God is throwing the Holy Spirit down upon God's Son, Jesus, and you see the brilliance of the light, and those who are around, their eyes are focused on Jesus, who is barely dressed, coming up out of the River Jordan as if coming out of the womb again, with a sense of new purpose and meaning. John the Baptizer makes it abundantly clear that someone's coming soon who is different, Someone who will baptize with spirit and fire. Someone coming soon who will be the genuine voice of Hashem, the name, God Almighty. And then right on cue, the someone coming does come. He's the one who is more powerful than I, as John says, showing up to be baptized in the muddy river and to submit to John's baptism, though John admits that he himself is unworthy even to bend low and untie Jesus' sandal thong. It's a pivotal moment of recognition and acknowledgement, two things we all need, recognition and acknowledgement. But Mark doesn't linger long because there's so much more to tell. What follows isn't a family shindig or a catered baptismal party or a cake or cards or gifts. And there's not even a photo opportunity for Jesus' parents and grandparents to have a lasting memory of their precious Jesus to remember in their old age. No, there's no time for any of that. There's no time to linger in the afterglow of the heavens opening its mystical reality. That's because a radical new reality was taking place on earth. One minute the Son of God is dripping wet with the echo of the Father's affirming voice in his ears, and the next minute he's being driven out into the wilderness by the very same Holy Spirit that just fell on him. We celebrate this radical change in our Lord's life each year at this time. And it's great that we do it, but what connections do we draw between Jesus' commissioning and his diving into ministry head first and feet forward at the insistence of the Holy Spirit? For many of us, I hope the day today will serve to remind us of our own baptism, of the day that we met water and word, spirit and fire, whether or not we realized what was happening when we were baptized, whenever that may have been. Maybe you made your own baptism promises, or perhaps someone else made them on your behalf. Do we ever see baptism as commissioning, or consecrating, or ordaining, or at the point at which we're diving into the deep waters of Jesus' mission and ministry ourselves? As the baptized, we step onto Jesus' muddy, wet footprints, to be sure, but each of us has a calling, a naming, a claiming, and a sending. It might be the case that one of you listening today hasn't yet been baptized. You may have questions about it as your entry point of faith. You know, it's the joy of every local community of Jesus' followers to open the doors, open the minds, open the hearts of the local church to everyone on their personal journey to God. And for the church to make plenty of room at the table and to trust that the Spirit is working through us, the baptized. It's the joy of every baptized human being to take the baptismal promises seriously and to be living in them afresh each day. The first beginning in Genesis chapter 1 reminds us of God's creative power to speak everything into being real and to vocalize, "Let there be light," and there was light, and to name the light day. The new beginning in Mark chapter 1, which merges with Genesis, is a new creation and a naming story. His name is Jesus, yes, and his name is Beloved Son. In baptism, God names the baptized. The baptized are named Beloved Son, Beloved Daughter. We are God's creation, remade in the womb and waters of the baptism font, in word, in water, in spirit, in firelight, two beginnings merge. Like splashing around in our own mother's wombs, we splash around in the font of baptism blessing. We splash in the holy waters of new birth, new creation, new life, forever wet, and we plunge and immerse ourselves into ministry and meaning as God's new beginning continues today. In the name of Jesus, God delights, and in whom God is well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's go down by the Jordan.